Kumbaya Roma. Kumbaya Roma.
Come and say Kenyans are indisciplined. How do you say Kenyans are indisciplined? And yet when the people are disorganized.
It appears that the better way of taking care of people in the pandemic is to shoot tear gas canisters at them and tie them up and make them lie down and roll in the mud and, you know, cane them and what have you. Break bottles, especially break bottles. This is not going to be our usual Minute Africa. This is going to be a rant, a measured rant. I'm going to be very measured, but this is going to be a rant. With any luck, when this whole pandemic is over, we might remember it more for the strokes we've received from the police, from the tear gas canisters that have been fired at us, and from the goods we've lost at the hands of the police at the markets and our shops, than we'll remember it for the number of people that we lost. Hopefully, very hopefully, because that seems to be where we're going. Welcome to Minute Africa. I'm Abraham Chinonso. Let's start. It reads like a movie. It's happening in real life. We are in an unprecedented crisis. And the word in everyone's mouth is coronavirus. The coronavirus has ravaged populations. It has overwhelmed healthcare facilities in some of the best healthcare systems in the world. It has forced billions, hundreds of millions of people literally into boredom, forcing them to sit in front of their TVs or their phones or whatever, just basically almost doing nothing. It's resetting global economics, it's shaking the foundation of the current global order, not to mention having killed over 28,000 people today, as of today. The virus is all shades of scary. Now, as with many other countries, African governments are now finally shutting down their countries, reluctantly at first, but now with increasing authoritarian rhetoric, and it's equally enforced in draconian way. The virus was slow to get here, but when it did, it blew away the meat that was actually going on around that Africans might be immune to the virus. And so now we know we're not immune to the virus in any way. So how have African governments reacted to the pandemic? Well, at first, it was very slow, reluctant responses. While people called for travel bans and bans on flights, the government largely ignored the calls of the people and continued to allow people to come inside the country. A lot of those people are now testing positive for COVID-19. By dragging its feet, that's how the government responded at first. As the number of cases around the continent exploded, and especially after several high-profile government officials were detected to be with the virus, African governments were quick to ramp up their response. And one of the measures that were introduced included blanket bans, curfews, shutdowns, lockdowns, always, of course, enforced with draconian efficiency. One of the lessons of this episode is that nature can be a great equalizer. Now, both the big people, the small people, as we say, the big men and the small men, the ordinary man and the big ogre, everybody is in equal fear and panic and what have you. And that's all good. It's how we react naturally to danger. It's how we react naturally to uncertainty. And everybody's looking for a way out. But the methods we've been seeing from governments, especially the brutal draconian shutdowns. When I say shutdowns, I'm not talking about don't go out, don't walk. I'm talking about closing essential services like food markets. I understand the need for social distancing and I'm all for that. I understand the need for us to slow the spread. I'm all for that. But you don't kill people because you want to save them. How does that save them? That brings me to this question. Who's really benefiting? Who's really getting saved? The people who have to use their food before they find their food? Or the people who have well-stocked fridges and who have Netflix and who have expensive, huge generators filled with diesel or fuel or petrol. They can relax in their houses and sit this one out. Or the people who are actually, as I am now, sweating and thinking where the next meal is going to come from. Let's do bare bones economics for a moment. Now, when you ask people to stay at home, you're assuming, first of all, that they have a home. I was taught that the three needs of man, three things every human being needs, it's food, shelter, and clothing. So when you say shelter in place, stay at home, social distancing, whatever you call it, you're actually assuming that the people have a home. Secondly, you're also assuming that they are well provided, especially when these bans are indefinite. So you're assuming that for an indefinite period, these people are not going to be looking for what to eat. I wish that was the case. Unfortunately, that is not. Around 80%, 70-80% of Africans rely on themselves for food. They don't depend on government. They work in the private sector, mostly informal sector, which means their input hardly gets into the economy. Okay, and the economy is not structured in such a way that it accommodates them. So when you pause the economy, when you say everybody go home, and when you ask the government workers, who in many instances are being owed salaries and arrears, and when you ask them to go home, to stay home, to work from home, how exactly do you expect them to do that? This is bare bones economics. That's food. And if they need to work to get food and they can't work, which means they are unemployed. All over the world, unemployment figures are going through the roof. I wonder what it is going to be for the Africans who do not care about employment, as it were, who are their employers and employ themselves in any way they can get something to eat. What are the rates? What do we know about that? How is this going to affect the man who works in a construction firm? He's a contract worker, as we call them here, an Ogwaja. He can go to work. He has to stay at home. He receives daily pay. His daily pay is less than $10. Actually, in some instances, less than $5. And this is someone who has a family. He's going to eat. He's going to feed his family. He's going to transport himself to work. But now he's not going to work again. He's not going to eat. He's not going to feed his family. He's going to shelter in place. How exactly do you want that to work out? I would like to know. It turns out that banning everything, cancelling everything, is not the only way to deal with this. It turns out that some nations actually found innovative ways of dealing with this without shutting down everything, without cancelling everything, without asking everybody, regardless of whether they were able or not, to shelter in place. And this is not saying we have to do that. This is pointing out that it is possible to do something that is very tailored to your situation, that does not copy and paste, that does not do defective copy and paste, because that's actually what we did. Case in point is South Korea. South Korea didn't do shutdowns, didn't do lockdowns. They relied on highly effective contact tracing, isolating hotspots and dealing with those hotspots, and rapid tests. Currently, Nigeria has done fewer than 200 tests. Maybe it's up to 200 now, maybe it's less than 200, but what do we know? We've not done up to 500 tests yet, but we've locked down places. If we don't know how many people have the virus, we are shutting down everywhere, we're asking everybody to stay home, and we can't test those people, what exactly are we getting at? This crisis is going to pass. It's not going to be the end of humanity as we know it. But when it's over, we need to ask the questions that need to be asked. We need to know if we had to kill the poor to save the rich. We need to know that. We need to ask ourselves, what kills more Africans? Coronaviruses or inept governments? And that's an answer I'll be looking forward to. There you have it. I didn't actually rant again. It wasn't so much of a rant. I kind of calmed down after losing a lot of my ranted records and stuck with the scripted version. I hope you like it. If you did, please share, like us, and rate us on whatever platform you get this podcast. Follow us on Twitter. We have a brand new Twitter handle at Minute Africa. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there. And if you have any ideas, something you want us to talk about, or you want to comment on one of the episodes, please send me an email at minuteafrica@gmail.com. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. As always, for Africa, by Africans, stay safe.
Here's an addendum. I'm currently watching horrifying videos from DR Congo, from Kenya, from Nigeria, from South Africa, all across the continent. These are brutalizing citizens in the name of saving them from coronavirus. At this point, I think we can safely assume that Africans are more likely to die from these measures than any sort of coronavirus. I think I'm fairly sure of that right now.
For Africa.
For Africa.
For Africa.
For Africa.
Come on, see.